All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is 6:06. Greg, call the roll.
All right, Amy, are you here? Anne is absent. Donald is absent. Evan is absent. This is Greg. I'm here. Kara?
Here.
Sarah? We are 4 of 7. We have quorum, and Evan's going to be joining us shortly. And we also have Mr. Bissonnette. Daniel is here. We have quorum.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Come on in. No. Come on in. Oh, okay, great. Is Emily coming?
I don't
okay.
But everybody's kind of like dazed. We're just coming. You know, I
me
just
too.
cast away. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. I just want to okay, cool. We're just getting started. So action item. So given that we're starting a little bit late, we are going to table, and there's also we're just barely meeting quorum. So we're going to table the community agreements discussion. And the academic oversight committee discussion. And great. Board and community appreciations. I want to thank our candidate for applying and being here and doing going through a really robust 3 different panel interview process.
I want to thank the parents and staff who just sat through a hour and a half panel to be involved in this process. I appreciate the engagement.
Yeah. I really appreciate the people that told me to come. It's nice to be invited, but also included in something that I didn't know that I could be. But yeah, I'm happy to be part of the process.
Okay, the student pen. I enjoyed talking to you all too.
Thank you.
So diplomatic. Anna has one here on Zoom. Go ahead, Anna.
I want to appreciate the candidate for all the things that I'm seeing him do in the day to day with the you know, helping out in all the hundreds of ways that all the staff and students need. And yeah, and also I want to give a big appreciation to Kara for continuing on in many of the roles that I have stepped back from and continuing to be a board member. And like, I see and recognize all that work and effort, especially now as I've stepped back from more of it.
Yeah, I want to thank Karen and Marcella, who had the most cats to herd to do the staff and family leader panel. So thank you guys very much for holding that.
One more appreciation. It's for Daniel. Thank you for approving family game night / auction kickoff.
Yeah, wait.
Sarah, I'll appreciate you for helping us coordinate this whole process. It's not easy, and you know, there's no like, it's not like you get to do it over and over and over and over again. So you get like super good at it all the time, and it's just really great to. Well, thankfully, but yeah, thank you.
I appreciate you. Just coming up, stepping up, supporting, giving us a little bit more hope on the MPC. It's just general, all of it. And of course, Kara, for
all those emails.
All, yeah, I appreciate all those emails. And yes, thank you.
if there are any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items. So anything that is not on the agenda today, is there anything that folks wish to talk about? The big things are the head of school panel interview, head of school report, back update, back and governance committee update. That's really it. Okay. Cool. So moving to the next piece, we're going to move to the head of school panel interview, which is the board's opportunity to engage with the head of school candidate. Just a reminder of this whole process. So we opened up applications internally as the first step in our head of school search, and then had a qualified applicant, Daniel Sinet, apply. And so our internal process was to have a series of three panel interviews, first with students, then with staff and families, and then this final one with the board tonight. And so the board will look at both, obviously, like our reactions to our conversation tonight, as well as the feedback that we get from the students and family and staff interview to determine what the next steps will be. So with that, we are going to jump in, and the board has all been assigned questions. So just like the other interviews, board has all been assigned questions to ask Daniel. And then after that, the board will go with Daniel into closed session. And then we will return to open session for the remainder of the meeting. Do we have another closed
session? Nope.
No, we don't. Okay, thanks. Cool. So I'm going to kick us off. Hi, Daniel. I know you've talked to a lot of people about what your vision is and changes you think should be made. And for this panel, I would love to hear maybe just like briefly what those changes that you think need to happen, but why you think they haven't happened yet, or what has stopped or slowed our community from already having done these things, and why do you think we can make why do you feel confident we can make changes moving forward in those areas?
Sure. I think I would frame them not as changes, but like the next steps, right? So thinking about the next steps, I think some things, especially that have come up in conversations with students, families, and staff is really making sure not just teachers, but students and families understand what it is that we're doing, right? Picking a Montessori school shouldn't mean that you're picking something for a very specific reason, right? You're looking for something different. And that vision for, especially for students, of what that looks like, and especially the elementary and middle school years, of this idea of I'm supposed to spark my own interest in things, be interested in things, and then learn how to learn about that. And so there's I think that there's better communication with our students around what it means to be in a Montessori school. And also that carries over to families also. Like, what does it mean to be in a Montessori school, right? And like starting with families that haven't come here yet and are gonna be starting in August, and like making sure that they're getting some sort of primer in what that looks like here, right? In terms of what stopped or slowed us from getting to these changes or to these next steps, I think it's been a process, right? Of like, where is our focus in the moment, of making sure that we are shoring up, making sure our classrooms have all the materials that they need, making sure that teachers are able to access the training, making sure that everyone's receiving coaching and building up their practice in the classroom. And then this is kind of like the next step that makes sense after shoring those things up. So I don't see it as things that have prevented us from getting there, but it's just like a logical next step for what has been being built. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So I know one thing that you all have instituted is the family learning nights. That's not what they're called. Education. Thank you. Education, that other word. Which I haven't been able to go to, but I've heard awesome things about.
Good one coming in March.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Great.
What is it?
Toby said it, I was like, oh, that one. I can't remember right now, but I was, no, that's a good one.
I'm wondering.
Oh, reading.
Oh,
so literacy, how to literacy at home.
Oh, cool.
Montessori lens.
Love it. What are some of the other ways that you think are opportunities for families to continue to understand Montessori, but also just, I think, the bigger vision around like public Montessori and the direction that, you know, you want to take the school?
Other avenues for families to connect to the greater vision.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what we see is that every year, right, are the families of our youngest students that come in are like ready to go, right? And are like, this is my first time at a school, like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's a good piece is harnessing that.
Yeah.
Like, if we're getting the families before they arrive here on day one, and making sure that they kind of understand, like, what are the ways to support? What are the ways to understand what's going on in their classroom? Like, how do I get ready? How do I get my student ready to be ready for that Montessori classroom day one if they haven't been in a Montessori classroom? And these are all, in terms of, like, some of the things that have slowed us down in that process, and kind of why it's the next step is, our training's been super summer intensive,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, like, myself, Miss Toby has been, like, we've been doing that every single day, all day, all summer, right? And so shifting away from that, that opens us up to already starting to plan, like, what are the summer things that we're going to do to mm-hmm. support the incoming families coming in?
Cool. Yeah. Parents of young kids. cool. Any other follow-ups from the board?
Keep it moving.
Excellent. Maybe tying into Daniel, what you're saying about ensuring students are really clear about the vision and what it looks like to lead the grade and what it means to be in the classroom. How do you see that translate into like the academic vision and the instructional?
Sure. Okay. We're in the middle of really putting together kind of a more holistic view of the child, right, of the student. We have our standardized testing scores, which is one thing, but we've been really working on like, okay, that tells one story and that's a legitimate story that's being told there, but like what's, how do I really explain what the full vision is for that student, right? And so we've been doing a lot of work around that in our leadership team this year around really setting the groundwork for that. I don't think that's a 2 to 3 year thing. I think that's like a this year, next year kind of thing. And I think that, so that's happening. We're also looking at like that standardized testing. That, again, that's a real story, right? And like, that's a real story that needs to be addressed. So what we have started doing is making, building in more time to really go over that data class by class, student by student, and create individual plans for students, seeing like, okay, so this tells me this, but like, how do I translate that to what I'm seeing in the classroom? And then now that I have that translation, how do I make my next steps from now, between now and, right? And so I think that's happening currently and just needs to become a regular thing that's constantly happening over the next year or two.
Cool.
How do you think about in transitioning into the school and your existing leadership team? Maybe it's leading to actually, that's okay, but just mm-hmm. thinking about
put it together
in
Yeah, yeah, do it.
The frame there is the pulling in the data, whole team analyzing the data, what adjustments that then we can make in the classroom, all of that obviously will take the sense of time and the worship into this new role. And that list of priorities, how do you think about leveraging your team to ensure that then everybody's getting that coaching that they need to effectively do the data analysis and make those changes?
Yes. I'm going to try to answer that. Tell me about this. So this year in general has been a big learning and an expansion of capacity. Right? And going from just Krishna and I to having Melody last year to also having director of student services and a Montessori coach who's essentially a director of instruction has already created some of that framework. Right? I think that in kind of thinking about my coaching of them or thinking about their trajectory, we hired them internally because we knew that they were the best people for that job, right? And like we didn't open either of those jobs up to outside because we knew that these people have developed in a way that like would they have buy-in from teachers and be able to communicate with teachers and students because of the work that they're doing. In terms of the coaching, I think it's I take a similar approach to coaching them in this position as I would when I was then coaching teachers, right? I was like, it's, we've hired these people that have all the expertise, right? And when 95% of the time, the coaching process is like hearing what's coming, right? Hearing the barriers and then asking questions to access their expertise, right? Like Kobe has expertise that I don't have. Lisa has expertise that I don't have. Melody has expertise that I don't have. And so I think that that role is about one, trusting the person, two, like supporting them to like access all that information because that's what we do with students too. Right? The whole point is like, I'm giving you the tools to like learn on your own so that you own that learning. And so same thing with adults. You have the tools, so I'm gonna like ask you the right questions to like support you in like coming up with that and then supporting that decision that you make. I can try to answer that question. Did I miss any parts of it? Tying that to data.
The question wasn't specific to data.
Yeah.
I kind of was thinking more along the coaching piece to.
And I think, yeah, especially because I know Daniel, like, I think you answered it from my perspective, but it is like, you've been directly leading a lot of that work. I mean, I know this last year less so than previously. And so I think Amy's question about like, you want to continue to run these like really tight cycles of data. And so how are you thinking about ensuring that like they're the ones doing it?
And, yeah. And that's like that tight collaboration.
Right? Totally.
Like, today, Lisa, Melody, Toby, and I were like sitting around a table working while one of us are going to have to keep pinging off to different places, but we're like constantly having that conversation about like that next step, bigger things that we're trying to see while dealing with like the everyday things that are happening in all those meetings. Mm-hmm. So that close communication, I think, is also a piece of that. Because I think what happened initially when with the expansion of that admin team is like almost like forgetting that it's there, so like not communicating what everyone's doing. And like kind of like building up the skills of that delegation and like mm-hmm. making sure that everyone's buckets were clear. And I think like starting around January, I mentioned this in our other panel too, that it's kind of like really been feeling like, oh, like mm-hmm. now we're feeling that expansion and like everyone becoming more clear around their mm-hmm. roles and like how they're supporting teachers and students. And it's made a big change.
I think given some of the data we have from the other panels and time, let's go to Greg and number four, and then Carrie, you can jump to six.
Okay. We answered that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Daniel, you're not gonna be able to do it all. Mm-hmm. No person in the head of school role can actually do it all. What are things you know, if you were to be in this role, that you would need to let go of? What are things you might actually be excited to let go of? And what might be harder for you?
Sure, there's anything that I'd be excited to let go of. I love working with teachers. I love working with students. And in a way, like, it's not letting go, but traditionally that moves you one step further away. Right? And I think the important piece is, how do I maintain that connection in our student panel? In conversation with them, it's like, oh, like, we should have like a student leadership team that meets with like whoever's the head of school regularly as part of that connection and like building initiatives that are student led. And so I think while they're letting go of certain specific things, it's about how do I then like maintain that connection, because it's important to know like what, or maintain connected to what teaching is like,
mm-hmm.
right? And, or what it is to, what it's like to coach a teacher. And so I think it's important to, yes, let go of certain things, but maintain that connection in other ways. But anything instructional will be hard for me to let go.
Do you think you would let go?
To an extent, yeah. Well, in... Right, in a certain ways, I already have this year, but like I don't coach teachers.
Because Toby is,
Toby's taking on a lot of, right? She's monster coach, but essentially a director of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So I've let a lot of that go and found other ways to fill that bucket.
So you've shared your vision for UMCS to be a place where families feel connected, involved, and access to resources. What is the first step toward getting there? Have access to resources.
This kind of connects to what we talked about in Ag and Empty,
mm-hmm.
oversight of like, we've talked a lot about attendance, right? And like, what are our next steps with attendance? At end of last year, we started like meeting as a CERC team, and this year that's gone on, and like it's not into that CERC team has started to meet with them, right? And with that, with the goal being like, what are the barriers that your family is experiencing to coming to school, right? And in those conversations, it's been like, oh, you just need to be connected to the right resources. Like, it's these resources that you don't know how to access in our community. And I think like coming, like talking to the other families coming out of those meetings, they've said things like, I feel supported in a way I haven't in my 2-3 years here. And so I think finding those opportunities to meet with families, to find out what the barriers are to whatever the issue is, is the main thing of like more face-to-face connection, really.
Can I follow up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds great. You sounds like you do meet face-to-face families now, and I'm guessing other members and, you know, your teammates do too. Is it already enough what's happening right now? Is there enough face-to-face meetings with families? And if there aren't, like, what will be different?
Tag on to that a little bit. We've talked a lot about how there are a very small percentage of families who are engaged and do get face-to-face time. How do you expand that so that all families know that they have that access?
I think that it starts with having more. It starts with having more opportunities for different ways to engage with the school, right? Which I think is that, like, having a family game night auction kickoff is like something that hasn't happened in a long time. And it's going to be a way that new families come in, right? The game night that Melody ran in December was like a place where we saw families we don't usually see at things. And so like having like lots of different types of new things come up that certain families will access in different ways, I think is the step one to like starting to see these new faces in these spaces, right? So thank you for all those things.
Is it enough currently?
Well, I think it's increasing.
It's increasing.
I don't think it's enough for me. And like, we're also just starting to get comfortable coming out of.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So I know. Do we need to note in?
The- I did.
Oh, you did.
Okay. Evan's here. 6:30. Welcome, Evan.
We're in the midst of talking with Daniel about the school position. So I know you have had a front row seat seeing Krishna navigate budget and in flush years and in dry ones. And it is pretty likely that we're entering a dry spell. What are some different considerations that you think are most important to weigh and to think about when you're trying to balance a school budget?
I think all of them.
Now, how do you prioritize?
Sure.
I
think Krishna's vision, right, or our vision, has been about like proving like we can do this model on public dollars,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think we've shown that, and we've also shown that, but our vision for what this could be is so much more, right? And so there's the usual considerations, of course, of around like student numbers, the number of students in the classroom, and attendance, and that kind of thing. And I think we've gotten to a place where we're able to manage what we have with those factors.
Mm-hmm.
I think that additional piece that's coming is like based off of like all these things that we want to do to make sure that teachers who wouldn't have access to Montessori training have access to Montessori training, right? To find ways to be able to have three and to be able to take on some of these bigger things that we want to make sure happen to kind of push us forward into that realm of like being a model for public Montessori schools is that we have to start looking at what bringing in outside money fundraising looks like, or bringing in funders looks like. And I think like that's when we talk to the public Montessori schools across the country that are doing like special things, there is a significant portion that's fundraised or like finding the right community partners in that process. So I think like that's like a new area that would be a big part of that consideration.
What do you do if, just to follow up on that, your lead teachers want something, your students want something else, your admin team wants something else, your parents want all of the things, right? In terms of what we might invest money on, what are your moves? What do you do? First of all, in this scenario, good job actually knowing what all of those folks want. That's like a pre-step.
I think this moves into kind of leadership styles a little bit, right? And I think that my job as a leader is, as a school leader would be, to really lift up all the different groups, right? And in that, there has to be some sort of ability to communicate between those groups where some priorities can be set,
mm-hmm.
right? If we've educated students, families, teachers on what it means to be a public Montessori school, right? Then we're starting with the same core values of like what we're looking for. And if we can get on that same page, then like I think whatever we decide will push us forward, right? That being said, that thing is a hard thing to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And for our staff, starting our own training center has been a huge part of getting on the same page about like what that the Montessori classroom is supposed to look like. What are the materials you're supposed to have? What are the lessons you're supposed to give? And then so like that extension about making sure that families have that basic understanding also, so that we can prioritize together.
kind of answered it already? I kind of did.
Great. What is your ideal board composition, and what is your ideal? And
that could
be continuing
current
and or
fire us all.
Can you tell me more about ideal board?
Yeah, as you think about ultimately how the board is here to support you and your success as a school leader, what are the levers or supports or expertise that you would think about needing or wanting to access so that you can?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to have some areas of specialty that aren't currently on the board, right? Like I think there's no strong Montessori trained person on the board right now, right? And like when it kind of goes back to like thinking about when I was on the board and thinking about some of the decisions that were being made and like being like the only no vote because I felt like pedagogically it didn't line up with what we should be doing. I think that's helpful to have on the board. I love having families on the board. I think it's great having families on the board also. I think a way bigger board would help to spread them out a little bit so we can find other things. Ideal relationship with the board.
Double click. Yeah, I got you. No, I'm with you. Either way. Yeah, we had it. We went back to like the early 2000s with those Mac versus PC ads.
So like different expertise, right? Somebody who knows. I don't. Maybe some of you know like how to find a facility.
Having more
a real estate person, right?
But can you wrap? Can you say a few more?
Oh yeah, we had. Right. We did have an employment lawyer. Helpful.
Wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for them.
Double click on Amy.
I interrupted you, but I think you're about to describe ideal relationship.
Great question. I'm not like exactly sure. Like I think like it. I want a board that has a certain level of trust in what we do, but also is willing to like honestly press us on things and not hold back when something doesn't feel right. Right, like thinking back to like even community agreements, like those are there so that we can have productive discussions where we may not agree and still have that in a productive way to like lead our school in the right direction, right? And so like as long as we agree that that's what we're doing and like really centering our work around what the student's experience is, I think any level of disagreement is okay.
One more?
Yeah.
You want to ask it, Evan? The last one.
Thank you. Number 9. Excuse my voice, guys. I've been talking all day, so I'm a little hoarse. In order to sustain yourself, how might you set and communicate healthy limits for your own time with staff, families, and the board?
This is not a strength of mine. And part of it is because like I love this work, right? And so for me, like when I go home and I'm at home and I'm not working, like I do things like read Montessori books, right? And so I think I've kind of found a balance for myself that works for myself, which might not look healthy necessarily to other people, but like for me, it works.
How's your doctor feel about it?
How's your wife feel about it?
It's been the best it's been in a long time. Everyone's sick at home right now, but I'm not sick. I also have a Montessori wife who understands work that goes into this and is super supportive. So I don't know. I'm not good into it.
What are the things that have been most important for you to develop the balance that you do feel like you have right now? And how would, because I think one thing that's going to feel different is if you were in this role is like buck stops with you, and it is a, you know, different level of ownership that can make it feel even, I think, harder to to step away, even if it's to go read Montessori books on your own time. So what is it, what currently exists that allows you to set boundaries that work for you? And
I try to not do computer work at home, mm-hmm. right? So I'd rather stay late and get it done here. So like if I go, you know, like I'll talk about Montessori stuff at home and like that, but that's like different, right? That's like more pedagogical. But I get my work done here and then go home and work. Well, if I'm like the weekend, if I need to work, I'll come here and work and then we'll get it done with and go.
Do you think it matters in this new role, and maybe it's the same because you're already in a leadership position, how you're an example, whether you're either providing, you're an example either way. Maybe you're a positive example, maybe you're not a great example on these sorts of issues, but for your staff, right? Because you want them to be able to set their limits and be healthy. So
yeah, that's the same as students, right? Students have different needs. Like I genuinely don't this here. But like I have a lot of things that are true in my life that allows me to be here. And that's not true for everyone. Right. And so I think like people's needs are different. And yes, we have basic expectations. And if people's needs are different, how they show up. It's about supporting. Because I'm able to be here every day and don't miss any days or hear long hours, I'm able to support people who don't have it. And like that comes from a lot of privilege in my life. So I hear that can look like unhealthy modeling, but I do think it's a meeting people. Spending extra time. Can you stay? Taking you home.
All right.
Before we move on from this item, you do have to take public comment on this item.
Remembering. Like,
questions or it's comment, just comment.
Nope. So it's just comment at this point. So if there is any member of the public who wants to make a comment on anything that was shared here or on Daniel's candidacy in general, this is the time to make that comment. It's not time for like discussion, but it is, you have 3 minutes to make a comment if you would like.
I appreciate that we have an internal candidate that's willing to be interested to be in this process and to sit and answer all these questions thoughtfully and take the time, even if you don't know all the answers yet.
I'll do a comment. When I was that eager parent starting school years ago, you know, you were there, you know, a drop off. So I do have a sense of, you know, you as a welcoming force for me as a parent to the school. And, you know, I was in the parent teacher session before. I think I see you as a very thoughtful person who's open to feedback and is part of it, like, wants transparency. And so I appreciate a lot of those qualities.
All right. It is 6:47. We're going to go into Krisha's office with Daniel for a little bit. And then we will come back to the main room to resume the rest of the meeting. Thank you. We are going into closed session on the public employee performance evaluation and employment of the head of school. Are there any comments on that item before we go into closed session? Great. Okay. We're going into closed session at 6:47.
I'm going to pause the recording.
All right. It is 7:28 and we are coming back from closed session. There were no actions or votes taken in closed session. I will just say that we feel really great about the process so far. We don't have any intention to move forward with an external process at this point. And the earliest that we could make any public announcements about we cannot take an action on a contract until the next, till the March board meeting. So that is when there'll be a formal update about that. Potentially informal one coming sooner, but that will be the next formal update. All right, we are moving on to the head of school report, who is not here, but Daniel is here in her stead, and he shall report.
How people have it.
Oh.
If it's on, yeah, you put it in documents, right? Then yes, we will all have it.
You go over mine.
Yes.
No, I have it. So, recent and upcoming events, observations have been this week. It's been great having families come in. Conferences are next week, which means it's minimum day all week next week. So please remember that. As we've mentioned a couple times, we have our auction kickoff March 15th, 5:30 to 7:30 in here, right? Which we're really excited about. And looking ahead, we have our spring break, March 29th, through April 7th. A week and a day. We've recently had Kindness Week. Some pictures in there for you to enjoy from Kindness Week. Really fun. Still pieces of that still going, which has been nice to see. We also had at the end of Kindness Week a PD day where we did lots of things. Our SLT updated staff on their four goals that they've been working on for the year. We did kind of fire drill debrief and had budget updates. Our occupational therapist and speech language pathologist did a presentation on, let's see if I can pronounce this, interoception and gestalt language processors, which was fascinating. Don't ask me to define those. In the afternoon, we looked at NWA data, talked about this earlier also. We went over whole school data by subgroup, by grade levels, and then leads kind of took classroom data and really looked at their class and student by student their data. And while other staff went to a presentation by learning theories and neurodivergent learners by Lisa, our director of student services, and that the leads that were in the NWA session developed additional kind of benchmark testing that they wanted to do in a Montessori classroom, And then are building groups of action based off of that. And progress reporting. Moving on to enrollment. It's just enrollment. I don't have attendance. So are the on-time applications closed? So the numbers here are the number of, basically the number of applications we'll have in the lottery. Overall, we feel pretty good about those numbers. We can definitely use more TK students as we have a larger TK primary program. So that's something that we'll continue to recruit. In terms of staffing, we hired a new SSA, Ms. Bradshaw, who's been great and who has also loved her time here. Talks about how it's even changed how she talks to her husband at home, which has been great. So we're fully staffed, and it's been a lot of fun. Measure G1, we talk about this every year. So Measure G1 is a local bond measure. It supports a couple different things. One is there's staff retention stipends that staff get at the end of the year. And there's also a portion that's specifically meant for middle school, so sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And it's meant to be used for the following things, right? Art and music, social emotional learning, student retention, attendance support, and or suspension deduction, right? In the this year, we used those funds to pay for, to support part of the director of student services position, right? So part of Lisa's salary, because a lot of her work is around supporting sixth through eighth graders around the emotional well-being and spend reduction. We hope to, want to use the Measure G1 funds for this year as well. There was one little hiccup, which has been solved, where there were their OUSD's data said they had a very small number of sixth through eighth graders, so we're offering a very small amount. It's been fixed. That's our goal, is to use it for the same thing next year. What is it, Greg?
No, nothing. I'm just taking notes. I haven't processing. But fully staffed. Except we need a head of school. I guess not. No, I'm just teasing. Just teasing. When was the last time the school was fully staffed? Can you remember? I feel like we're always hiring something. You don't need an expanded learning project program leader? It's unheard of. Thank you.
I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, you're always hiring. Have you started hiring for next year? Yeah, okay.
In this moment
right now, because it changes all the time. Someone goes on a leave, someone moves away, you get another kid, and now you need another SSA, right? So it things change all the time, but just to actually it be there. Okay.
Like, we already talked about attention return school staff, and we always post everything and
LCAP. It's been our practice, like basically every time the calendar turns over, that we agendize LCAP development on every board agenda and every committee agenda, so that afterwards, when we're all said and done, we've created that many public opportunities for people to come in and weigh in on our LCAP. So LCAP is the local accountability plan. There's a new template every year. We have a new template this year. It's linked on the agenda, and we've started filling it out. This year is, again, a little different. The link will take you to a folder full of documents. The main one is the one called LCAP. And this is all about spending. It's the plan for spending a portion of our funds that come from the state depending on the number of unduplicated students that we serve. These are students who are English learners, homeless foster youth, or socioeconomically disadvantaged students. I believe those are the three categories, yeah, that fall into unduplicated. So like a good plan, it starts with goals, and then it connects actions to achieving those goals, and then the money you spend on those actions. And this will get approved in June, or at least voted on. I assume it'll get approved. And it's not nearly even complete. What you would see right now is very much like it's got placeholder language from the prior plan, and it gets worked on all year. But it's a Google Doc, and we have it commentable by anybody. So anybody can weigh in at any time, even after we vote on it, and workshop the language, or say, I don't like that goal, or I want to change the goal, or I want an additional goal, or I think we should do this action step that's connected to that goal. And anybody could weigh in. And so the FAQ is another place where this document should show up at some point for review. And then at all the, like I said, all the boards. So board committee chairs, please make sure it's on your agenda. It's a chance also to just remind administration's job is to power it. We kind of help create the container over the years, but like in order to do an LCAP well, you need survey data from families and from staff and from students to understand what's going on now and what do we want the goals and action steps to be. And when done perfectly, this is not just a compliancy document. This is actually has real things in it that staff say they think would help the school, and administration thinks it would help the school, and the board has weighed in. And it's not just across California, it generally defaults to, we just do this, and it doesn't really, and it doesn't connect to the day-to-day. It too often does not connect in a lot of schools to what they're really driving towards, but that's what it's supposed to be. With that, I will offer, Daniel, this is mostly for you. I didn't just copy in the old goals from, because it's a new 3-year cycle. It's a chance to kind of have new goals. So I took a stab at offering like fewer clear, maybe fewer simpler goals with like ways of measuring it that would be easier without like as much of Mr. Buck constantly having to go in and look at things. And then my thought was that it might be that an LCAP might be paired with a student outcomes dashboard document that's a different document that tracks all the subgroups on all the NWAs and their attendance and, you know, all the things. And that, the, like you kind of alluded to, like building out the student profile work, but how that looks at a grade level or a level or the school, right? And that dashboard, that data more public. And I have examples from other schools. Instead, like in the past, we've had a lot of those things like in the LCAP, right? Like how did special ed students grow from here to here? And I wondered if, I'm not saying we don't have to do that, but just that I wondered if we could just have one place that has all the, what's it called? Disaggregated data on all the data sets, and that the LCAP is just able to be a little bit higher level than that. That's just an offering though. I think that's what I have on LCAP. So this is your chance. If publics have comments, questions, or ideas, this is a feedback process. Marcella. Local Control Accountability Plan. And it got paired in the state of California when we got the local control funding formula. This is the plan that keeps us accountable to the money.
Yeah, I think we
table it.
Yeah, because we, well, I can just name what we talked about in exec committee was that there was a proposal at the last board meeting around a role that Krishna and the whole admin team were proposing creating at the school that would be focused on enrollment, facilities, and the training center. And at executive committee, we decided to pause that discussion until we had a new head of school who would be determining what the final scope of that role would be to moving forward. So with that, back.
Thanks, Sarah. All right. Big appreciation, Sarah, for making all the emails make sense. All right. So updates. First update, the Super Bowl squares that went out and were established raised $1,500.
Yay.
Goal sport. And parent night at Left Coast Power Yoga, which the past ones raised $500 for the school. And kind of speak was great. Mentioned, and then also what Daniel mentioned, the game night auction kickoff has been approved, so it'll be here in the Sunroom on March 15th. The plan is to eat pizza. We have a lot of really great donations from bakeries and sweet treats, but we are looking for a requested budget for pizza to help provide, encouragement for people to come in. So if I knew where to ask for the money, that would be great, but I'll just keep moving and we'll take it at the end. And then, so that's the kickoff for the online auction. The online auction will run from the 15th through the 9th. Going back to the game night, auction night, that's Rin Bealy and Lana. And Lana's also working on the online auction with Anne as well. So that's looking, it sounded like donations are so like much. Rolling in. It sounded like we're like, definitely, it feels like we do need an in-person thing for the amount of amazingness that's coming in. So hopefully that'll be nice. And then the next thing is Earth Day plant sale cleanup. So that's on 4/20 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. As per usual, we will need volunteers to host the sale. The teachers have been offered the opportunity to, so the FAC has a initiative that we would like to give to the teachers, those who want a kit. So they would be presented with everything that they need to start seedlings for the plant set. We have our FAC leadership has approached their individual teachers, but we are facing a little bit of a communication gap with other teachers, just kind of getting a read, like who doesn't want to be bothered with it, who wants to do this, so we're hoping to kind of get a little bit more information around that by March 1st.
Which is like next week.
Yeah, a little too soon,
but it sounded really great.
We want to give everybody at least 4 to 6 weeks to grow things. Mm-hmm. So it was just a push. We have all the materials. It's just hearing back from teachers.
Yeah, we don't want to just come to prison.
Yeah.
Want to send me words that I can add to staff comms?
Yes.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah, we can do that.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll send it.
Cool. Thank you. And then, yeah, the basic plan for Earth Day is the plant sale, and then we'll also couple it with an Earth Day trash pickup. And then games, make it super fun, right? Not just like plant sale and trash cleanup, but also, making it dead bubbles, a celebration, right? So Earth Day bingo, chalk, if we can possibly get music and bubbles and more of a fun vibe, Earth Day vibe, right? And then moving forward, there is an adult karaoke night hosted at Left Coast Power Yoga on Saturday the 4th. That is another fundraising event, 6:30 to 9 p.m. And those details are to come. And then move-a-thon, end of year celebration, May 18th. That is to be planned.
Yeah.
and that is... that's everything.
Yeah. And there is just one request, which we haven't discussed, which we will next week, to do have a work day before the end of year to help out with facility, whatever things, which is separate than an Earth Day thing. It's like getting people to help out with cleaning or painting or shade or things. So I think at the next FAC meeting, parents are interested in talking about that. Shade's always a hot topic. And tomorrow, coffee.
Yes.
Tomorrow's coffee.
I will throw out that there are zero signups for the things that people are bringing.
I'll get coffee. Okay. I'll get coffee and water. I'll
bring hot water and tea.
Yeah, I'll bring water. I'll get coffee.
I can't make it. Otherwise, I was going to get the coffee.
We had a plan.
Yeah, I can't make it. But the next one, I'll
do it.
I'll bring
hot water
and tea bags.
I'll do coffee and coffee. And then next week we have Zoom. We have a Wednesday Zoom meeting. Next Wednesday at 8:30, that's the 28th. And then I don't know if we mentioned it recently, but we also have started meeting on campus on a Monday at 2:00. That varies depending on
events,
minimum days and all the other stuff, mm-hmm. events. But
they're posted and
they're available for people. So now the FAC has 3 points of contact during the month. The FAC coffee, the Monday afternoon meeting, and then the evening Zoom to hopefully get a more cross section of participating. And that's all for me, for us.
But now, what's going on? I'm an option. As a non question, parents.
Has it been established?
It's not online yet.
It's not online. It'll be yeah, cool. But once it's
active, it's not live.
It's not live. Yeah. Once it's active, we will.
It'll go school wide, so you'll get it in your board.
Have you been getting the weekly parent square? Yeah. Okay, that's another we're gonna check on. As a board member, you should be getting parent square posts that go to staff.
And sometimes I know if people have kids at multiple schools, yeah, parent square can get confusing.
A separate parent square using cover laws, right?
So it could have been assigned one. And even if you don't sign it up, you should still get the weekly message.
It would have come from Mr. Buck, but we may have had a breakdown. And he should have also elevated yours, Evan, to be like four. So when I log in with my Urban Montessori email.
I have my parent one and my board one. I have two.
Interesting. I have three kids in three schools that all use Parent Square, and I only log in with my Urban Montessori email.
For all of them?
Yeah, and they and I see three different schools.
Huh.
And Parent Square told me you have to like link these accounts, and like then you don't have.
Yeah, I have two separate ones. I mean, I technically have.
You have two too. Well, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. You have an interesting relationship with Parent Square. I'm gonna follow up with Amy about her parent square needs, because that is at minimum when we're not in between board meetings, that's a weekly note from the administration to the community that you should be getting. And in the meantime, I can share the Google Doc of all the communications so you can at least have that. That I have access to. Will you please make a note to follow, and we'll follow up? Thank you, Amy. Sorry about that. Just to see the. You want view only? You wanted to table any public comment on the FAC report? The public gave the report, so thank you. Appreciate it. You want to move on to the next item?
Yeah.
But we tabled it.
We tabled 7. We're on to 8. Just want to say thank you to Donald for his 2 years of service. Tonight is his last board meeting. He's not here, but we are appreciative of the time that he gave.
I'll just say, I texted him. I was like, hey, this is it. You sure you can't make it? He's like, you can't make it. And I really appreciate that he stayed on.
Yeah.
He was on if there was an emergency and we had to call a certain meeting, he was still on, even though in these last few months he couldn't be as active as he wanted to be. But he says hello. He says thank you. And I told him we missed him, and he says he misses us too. He just like, I think stuff came up at work and he's just got really busy. But he can speak for himself. But I think he really appreciates the school and is glad to be here. And he served all 2 years, and it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yay.
And now I'm going to turn off his email.
All right. Next is board committee officers and members. We are now down a vice chair, which I mentioned at the last board meeting. If there are no hand raises, I will nominate someone next time.
You want to, what's the main responsibility of the vice chair?
Great. To run meetings if I am not here and do the duties of the chair if I am unable, basically.
Yeah.
Expectation to be on governance or exec?
No. Okay. Right.
Does not come with a committee assignment.
Not even, do I even have to be on that?
It's best practice if the chair is the chair of the governance committee. Yeah. That's what we've been taught.
Yeah, sure. All right, I nominate.
Kara's nominate herself? Any others? Any other nominations? I want to fight. We got to duke it out. Amy, come on.
Reserve my tendencies of like volunteering and like fully embrace my current.
Okay. Getting to be baby new. All right. Fair enough. Evan, lose your voice? Or...
No, I feel the same way.
I second that nomination for Kara being our vice chair.
Thank you, Kara. Great. Call the roll.
Oh, yeah. Sorry guys, give me one sec. Gotta actually press a different button. Add a vote. There it is.
Oh, yeah. All in favor?
There you go. Aye.
Aye. And then none opposed. Or Kara, are you abstaining?
I'm abstaining.
Okay.
You're abstaining?
Is that more complicated for you?
No, it's fun. I can do it. Abstain. All right, we have a new vice chair.
And this doesn't change quorum on academic. Quorum is still two.
So. Two members quorum and two quorum. Yeah. Okay. Did we put Evan where he wanted last time? Where did we, Evan, what did it?
Evan's on exec. Yeah.
Did you want to also join academic? You don't have to, but. So. Okay. Do you want to switch and just join beyond the, yeah. Just want to make, no, you're good. Great. You're good. Great. I think this was the next item, I think was an agenda typo because it's head of school interview. So this will be okay. Table. No, we're not doing it again.
I pointed it out to Greg.
I think it already posted. Okay. Real brief Oakland updates and California updates. I wanted to share on the Oakland that I believe, does anyone know for sure if OUSD actually approved their calendar?
They did.
They really did approve it. I know.
Now you're making me get sick.
I know, because I know it was on, I know the updated calendar is a public record and we shared it with the admin team and the calendar on our agenda, you know, lines up with it where it's supposed to and that sort of stuff. But OUSD had this meeting on like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And their minutes and their video have not posted from it. And they've posted video from later meetings, but not that one. So I just have there's no way for me to actually, I did not stay up that night and I do not actually know if they.
Joe had information yesterday that it was approved. He
and,
was reading up with that.
Actually,
she wrote an article about it, but she didn't link to it actually being.
Joe found it because he was looking at it.
Oh, it did? It was OUC approved? Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Great. Okay. So OUC approved their calendar. So our calendar has been informed by that where it's supposed to be. So that's good. And then I wanted to share it this time. I'll connect it. Like the finance committee didn't actually meet this month because we didn't have quorum. But I met with the admin team and that stuff's also on the consent agenda. And the one thing I wanted to pull out of that non-committee meeting was that obviously the governor released his budget in January. He's got a COLA in there, a cost of living adjustment of like 0.8%, 0.76, yeah, something like that. His pattern has been in May to every May, he has every year done better than his January proposal on behalf of schools. So everyone is hoping that that pattern continues, but he's also facing a nearly $40 billion deficit. So we'll see. So I did want to kind of tie that in as a California update here in this agenda item and acknowledge that the Finance Committee did not meet fully. So if anyone wants to discuss the financials tonight, we can pull them from the consent item and we can talk about them more. But I did go over them with EdTech and with Krishna. That's what I have for any public comments on this.
Consent report items?
Oh, that was, Oakland and California updates. I'm sorry. I just was connecting it to the California budget thing. We're hopefully taking action on it in about 3 minutes. Yep.
Yeah, it'll get approved tonight. Yeah, and I think Krishna put in a parent square update that the first day of school is the 14th.
It's a Wednesday.
It's also been discussed extensively on the school Facebook page group. Yeah.
And the document that if you look at it, the one that we're linked to on this agenda, it actually has draft calendars through like 2030.
Also, FYI, OUSD is starting on Thursday.
They're starting on Thursday. They're also going off for Memorial Day 2025 and coming back to school on Tuesday for their last day of school.
Whoa.
May as well put all their ADA for that day in a room and set it on fire.
So we're about to have a school calendar.
Yeah.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from January 25th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent report, which does have the calendar on it. It has the comprehensive school safety plan and the finance committee documents. Any comment on anything on the consent? All right,
I make a motion to approve.
Five. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any items for future meeting?
We should agendize the an employment contract.
Yeah.
If we are able to.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. What time is it? 7:59. You're adjourning?
Started late, finished earlier.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. We'll adjourn.
7:59. We are adjourned.
All right. I'm going to stop the recording.
Yep.